If you think we're on the run, we are the boys who will stop.
Welcome to the Dad Zombie Podcast, and a very happy new year to all of our listeners. Hope you had a brilliant Christmas, fantastic new year. I'm having difficulty believing that it's already, what, the 3rd of January 2008? Time just flies when you get old, and it's very, very sad. Anyway, this is just a mini podcast. It was originally intended to be a further discussion on My Brother and I with Paul Carpenter from the Dad's Army Appreciation Society, and due to my idiocy, I'm afraid I've deleted the conversation I recorded with him. So I've already apologised to Paul, but these things happen in a technologically advanced society such as ours, particularly when you have monkeys like me using said technology. So instead, we've got a feedback episode, which is where I'm going to read to you a few emails that we've received from our listeners over the past couple of months. We've been very busy on the podcast, so we haven't had an opportunity to read out a lot of the feedback we've received. Won't be very long, but hopefully it will be long enough to tide you over until episode 14 is available to download, details of which I'll give you at the end of this show. We've received an email from Thomas Richardson, who some of you may know plays Private Pike in the Dad's Army stage show. He says, "Hi, hope all is going well with the website, and wanted to thank you all for your support at the stage show. As you can imagine, Dad's Army poses a huge responsibility to a company of actors, and it's nice to know that we are being supported. Just on a personal note, and in brackets he puts, 'cause I remembered you said you were a big fan of Pike's,' and that's particularly directed at me, I think, rather than Tony. In the early episodes, the two lost ones particularly, Pike didn't have a great deal of involvement plot-wise, and was only really with the progression of the series that he received more exposure with his popularity with the public. The lines haven't been altered from the lost episode scripts. Equally, he did have a lot of lovely stuff in Room at the Bottom, but about 10-15 minutes of the episode were edited for stage show running time reasons. Just thought that may interest you." Well, yes, Thomas, it does. Thank you very much indeed for getting in contact. Both Tony and I have commented on the underuse, or what we perceived as underuse, of Private Pike in the stage play. We liked what we saw, but we just didn't see enough of it. That summarises quite nicely how we felt, I think. But thanks ever so much for getting in touch, Thomas. It was fantastic to open the inbox and find an email from you, and to know that at least one of the cast is a listener of our podcast. Feel very honoured. Thanks very much indeed. And the stage play kicks off touring again in 2008, beginning in February at the Hackney Empire. Tickets are on sale now and from a number of theatres where the play is visiting, and you can hear the full list of towns and cities and theatres and locations and venues and so on in episode 13 of our podcast. Now, you may remember a few podcasts back, we interviewed the landlord of the Six Bells, and we discussed one of the episodes that the pub features in Dad's Army, which was Wake Up Warmington. Now, Tony and I got a little bit carried away in that conversation. We talked about the worthwhileness of the Home Guard and whether or not they actually did contribute anything, and Andrew Cheese has sent us an email about our conversation. "Hi guys, I enjoyed the interview with the landlord of the Six Bells. I think the Home Guard was probably taken more seriously as time went on. There were actual bombings, don't forget, which must have scared people to death. My grandmother told me that a bomb had exploded not too far away from her back garden and shook the whole house. She's dead now, so I can't ask her anything, but she's told me that a lot of Churchill's speeches, etc., were often just propaganda, and that we were just not prepared. We would have to fight the Nazis with pitchforks. It wasn't just the Home Guard that people volunteered for. I know my granddad was a volunteer fireman when he finished work. One story he used to tell was that he went to Coventry one day to get measured for a suit, and then went up to collect it, only to find the shop had been bombed." Thanks, Andrew, for getting in touch and describing how the war actually affected your family. One of the things that Jimmy Perry and David Craft always strove to do was to make certain that they never undervalued or sold short the reality of the situation that their comedy was set in. And many people have commented in the past how wonderfully they achieved that. I do think it is really important for people to understand how difficult it was during the war. And although there's an awful lot of jokes made in very, very good taste and very good humour, in my opinion, in Dad's Army, it was was set against the backdrop of complete adversity, and a scenario that fortunately we here will never ever have to experience. If there is another war, I suspect it will be considerably quicker than World War II. Going back a few podcasts now, Tony and I discussed The Love of Three Oranges, during which we mentioned a couple of things that it transpires that we were a little bit vague about. First of which was Godfrey's outfit. When he was disguised in snow gear, he was dressed as Pierrot the Clown, who allegedly was one of the most famous clowns ever. We also were a little bit vague on what brawn was. Well, we have an email from Eunice, who has decided to try and clarify things for us and to educate Tony and I. Hi James, it sounds as though you didn't know very much about the clown Pierrot. His name was Jean-Gaspard de Bureau. And yes, I know my French accent is superb, so please don't bother emailing me telling me how good it is. And Eunice also includes a little bit more information for me so that I can find out exactly what Pierrot the Clown was famous for and how he came to be mentioned in Dad's Army. Oh yes, and she continues, oh yes, and brawn is meat from a pig's head, boiled and pressed into a block. Which is charming, and I'm quite pleased Tony didn't know that, because, as we mentioned at the time, he's a vegetarian, and that would have been quite entertaining, I guess. But at least we now know a little bit more about the jokes, or the visual jokes, that Jimmy Perry and David Croft were using within The Love of Three Oranges. Eunice finishes up by saying, how much will you pay me for being your research editor? And the answer to that, Eunice, is nothing. But a nice try, nonetheless. That's more or less it for this mini podcast. Told you it was only going to be a few minutes this time round. I would like to say thank you to everyone who sent in Christmas and New Year messages. They were very much appreciated, most unexpected again. So you know who you are. Thanks ever so much for your support. Much appreciated. If you'd like to send us some feedback, then there's a number of ways that you can do this. You can use our email address, which is warmingtononsea333@yahoo.co.uk, and we'll endeavour to read out all emails. Not always possible, as we receive quite a few these days. I will always reply to everything that we get, though. Secondly, you can actually make comments about individual podcasts now, and you can do that by logging on to our podcast page, which is www.dadsarmy.podomatic.com, and there's a little word that's got comments under the heading for each podcast. If you click on that, then it's all fairly straightforward and you can make individual comments. Or finally, if you listen to us via iTunes, you can just click on write a review of that podcast, and you can join the four individuals who have already done that, and your comments will be there for everyone to see. So any comments using any of those methods are more than welcome.
Next time, Dad's Army Podcast.
On episode 14 of the podcast, which should be available for you to download on either the 26th or the 27th of January 2008, so long as everything goes according to plan, we will have a review of Dad's Army throughout 2007. 2007 was actually a very busy year, and an awful lot happened within the world of Dad's Army. So Tony and I will be taking a brief look back at what happened over the last 12 months. We'll also be taking a quick look forward into 2008 and what we can expect to see in the 40th anniversary year. We've also got some news about the podcast website and some developments and changes that we're going to be making, hopefully in the next 2 or 3 months or so. There's going to be some major changes to the way that people can access the podcast. Hopefully it will appear far more professional. The website will be updated more regularly, and we'll go into a little bit more detail, as I said, next time. All that's left for me to say is thank you to all of those who have contributed to the podcast in some way, shape or form. Paul Carpenter, Ed O'Driscoll, Stuart Wright, Paul at the Six Bells. Thanks ever so much for helping. The biggest thank you, of course, goes to you, the listener, for actually finding Tony and I interesting. There seem to be about 4,000 of you at the moment, and I'm surprised that anyone wants to listen to me talk about a programme that's 30 years old. Very, very grateful for your contact and your support. All that's left really for me to say finally this podcast is have a very happy new year, and we'll speak to you again at the end of January.
So who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler?